We're today in Revelation chapter 11, and we'll probably just stay there in verse 1 because I have some things I want to share with you regarding the condition of Jerusalem today. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you so far for where we've been. Thank you for the great testimony today, Lord. We just thank you for allowing us to witness this life and this great work that you performed from in the life of a man that the doctor said was dead. Well, they said that about a young girl one time, and you said she's only asleep, and you raised her up. They said that about another man, and you stopped the funeral procession, and you raised him up. Mm-hmm. And they said that about Lazarus that had been dead for 3 days, uh-huh. And you called him out of the grave.
Yeah.
So, Lord, with men, yes, it is impossible, but not with you. For with you, Lord God, all things are possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're just so grateful to have the fellowship of this man and to be able to enjoy this wonderful time in you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for faith to trust you, and please increase our faith, or decrease it as the case may be. Some of us may have a bit too much, and we may think too highly of ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be just in the right place with you, trusting and believing you. I look upon this word today, Lord. Please help us, and please help me to not get in the way of this message. And help those that hear also to not get in the way, so that we all can hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. And it's your name, in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Revelation 11, verse 1 says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." Thomas Ice and Timothy Demme wrote in a book called Fast Facts on Biblical Prophecy. They wrote, "The Bible speaks of four temples in Jerusalem. The first two temples, the Temple of Solomon and the Temple of Herod, have already been built and have been destroyed. The final two temples will be the Tribulation Temple and the Millennial Temple. These are yet to be built and are spoken of in great detail in Bible prophecy." And so if you've ever got a little bit confused about these temples continuing to show up in the scriptures, there have only been two temples, Old Testament-wise, Solomon's Temple and Herod's Temple. Really, that temple was built by another man. Solomon's Temple was the first that was built in Jerusalem. The next temple was Zerubbabel, and it was called Zerubbabel's Temple. It was the second one, and it was later remodeled, and then it was named Herod's Temple. And so those are the two historical temples. The Tribulation Temple will be built before the midpoint of the Tribulation period, and then the Millennial Temple will be built after the second coming of Jesus. Now, there are two spiritual temples we also need to consider. They are prominent, but not overly emphasized. Some people misinterpret the temple that we are. The Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are a temple. We are the church.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes people just mess that up, and they call the building the church. They call this the church. I got a lifetime of that stuff in me. I'm still working through that. This Christian being the temple of the Holy Ghost is still new to me, and I've been saying it for years, but it's some things get so stuck in you, you see?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, folks want to reverence this building, and a hurricane could knock this down. Oh, God, where's the church? You're the church. Are you still alive? Well, then you're still church is still standing. And so that's the spiritual temple. And then, of course, there's the temple that's in heaven. So these are two that we need to consider. Now, the Revelation 11:1, John is given a reed like a rod. Now, Psalm 2:9, we see a rod used for chastisement in Psalms 2:9. It says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. We're dealing with a measurement of time here. And it's given for the time of the Gentiles. A few times it's been mentioned in scriptures about the time of the Gentiles, the day of the Gentiles. And that's what this is, given for the time of the Gentiles, after which judgment will come on the Gentiles. The rod is also an instrument of comfort. And in Psalm 23:4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we both have judgment and comfort in this chapter, in Revelation chapter 11. The temple of God that they're talking about is going to be a limited temple. It's not going to be the whole temple as we have read in the Old Testament. It's going to be limited to the holy place and the Holy of Holies. That's the deeper, innermost part of the temple. This place will place us back in Old Testament times in order to comprehend this thing here about the temple. It does not have to do with the church, because there's no temple in the church, since the church is made up of all truly born again believers who are themselves the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So we don't have a temple, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's stated in Ephesians 2:22-23, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so the Spirit inhabits us. The Spirit lives in the church. So we have to remember that we are the temple. And you'll find that some religious groups will continue to reverence some kind of temple or some kind of building. Oh, you're sitting up cussing in church, they'll say. I can't believe you in church doing that. I can't believe they said that in church. We had a man sit here and use profanity. Okay. Folks cringed. I'm like, let's keep going. We have to properly handle these things.
Yeah.
We can't get bent out of shape. You know, people are who they are and people are where they are. You know, everybody wants them to be like me. Not me, but, you know, like you. You know,
people want, you know,
you're not where I am. And they're kind of, yeah, well, thank God they're not where you are. Like, people grow at different paces, in different places. Not like one of them worldly songs, don't it? You know, at different rates. And we're all in the body of Christ. We're all in the body of Christ. And some are so-called advanced and some are not so advanced. Mm-hmm. We have the older saints and sometimes the newer saints. I've learned many times that the newer saints are more on fire than many of the older saints. Mm-hmm. The older saints start to come around with the wet blankets. They're going to put them new saints out.
Yeah.
Making me look bad.
Uh-huh.
I've been here for 52 years, and God ain't never had me do that. And why he coming, you know? And so, I get off on that. Okay, so the altar that's mentioned in Revelation 11:1 refers to the golden altar of prayers. That is the altar we studied already in Revelation 8:3, if you remember, the golden altar of prayers, when the angel offered much incense, remember, with the prayers of all of the saints?
Yeah.
That was the golden altar of prayers. The same one. And he offered it there. And that altar was before the throne. And even the worshipers here in Revelation 11 are going to be measured. So God is going to have John just count just how many people in this temple are worshiped. And so that's the golden altar of prayers that would be there. It won't be many altars involved in this particular temple. And also, I want to call your attention to the fact that this temple that's going to be built that they're talking about is definitely not the final temple, and it's not going to be holy, because it's going to be built by unsaved Jews.
All right.
And it's going to be built because the Antichrist said you could do it. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah. There's another one that comes after that, the Millennial Temple. That'll be the real one, but let us not skip too far. Now remember in Revelation 10:6, it stated that the time would be no more. That the change would be shocking, to say the least. When God begins to close out the age, he will focus his attention on Israel and the temple. Do you remember, I don't know if you had this thought, but the Bible said somewhere in there that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all the world, then shall the end come. You've read that somewhere in scriptures, right? For years, I thought it was the church that was going to do it. I thought it was me. That we got to get out and preach the gospel and we got to really go and everything. But it's not going to be the church. We're going to be in heaven with Jesus. How are we going to preach the gospel to all the world if we're in heaven with Jesus? Right. It's going to be 144,000 Jews going to be doing the preaching. You see? And so all of these years, I'm like, I got to go preach, you know? And well, we're not going to reach all the world the way that the Bible says that all the world is going to be reached. So we got to put things in proper perspective and be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Let God put you and use you how and when and where he wants you. Relax. God is not in a hurry. He's not confused. He's never late. He is always on time. And he knows just what he is doing. And so we want to be where God wants us to be and used in a manner that he wants to use us. And why do we do what we do? Because we love God.
Amen.
I want to be this and this. I want to be this. Well, you love God. So if you love me, he says, you keep my commandments. Uh-huh. You keep my words. Folks say, I love Jesus, but then you never can tell it by looking, you
right.
see. But do you keep his words? Well, what do you mean? Well, his words. Do you keep his words? Do you love your enemies?
Uh-huh.
Oh, see, you didn't stop meddling. See, you're meddling now. You're meddling. Talking about loving my enemies. See, but that's what he said. Love your enemies. So if you love, that's just one of the things that he said. And it repeats in the epistles just to make sure that we get it. But then again, folks don't like reading the epistles either. They kind of stay away from the epistles. You know, they'll read Psalms. Oh, Lord, how long will my enemy prosper? You know, oh, how long will my enemy get away with this mess? You know, and it's like, strike them, Lord. You know, knock them down. That's the Psalms. And they love those Psalms. It's like, man, come on a little further here. Come on over here to the new. Come on over into the epistle. Read this thing. Read Romans 12. I dare you to read Romans 12 all the way through to the end. I dare you to read it. You know, read Romans 8. Read these things. I dare you to read it. It'll sit in your lap and breathe in your face and you won't miss it. What it's saying to you. It is super instructional. The epistles are super instructional to us. So he's going to focus on Israel and he's going to focus on the temple. Now, Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14 tells how Israel will become the center of major activity of the world during the tribulation period. It is amazing, Zechariah 12 and 14. And 13 is, yeah, I just went on and read 13 too, but it's amazing. The nations of the earth will gather against Jerusalem. The struggle over Jerusalem and the temple will trigger the second coming of Christ, and it will also trigger the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be all because of Jerusalem. That's why it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace. Pray for Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is going to be a hotspot. It's going to be a hotbed. And they're going to be fighting over control of it. Through Israel, God is going to break the nations in pieces. It's already started. Israel has made Jerusalem its capital. The Palestinian Authority says Jerusalem will be the capital of their Palestinian state. The Catholic Church has asked that it be designated an international city. The Arab League and most of the international community supports the Palestinian Authority. And the United States seems to switch sides from time to time. We're with you, we're not. We're with you, we're not. We'll do what we want. All of this makes the United Nations nuts. It makes them want to move against Israel, but it would be an unwise thing to move against Israel. God will not allow the nations of this world to prevail over Israel. He will not allow. It would be an unwise thing. And those that do come against Israel, especially during that time, will, as they say, have to take their medicine. Next, the Jews want to rebuild the temple on the same site as the first two Old Testament temples. They want to build it where the Temple of Solomon was built, and they want to build it where the Temple of Herod sat as well. They have already prepared preparations, site plans. They've already got plans for this site. They have architectural building plans already drawn up. They've got the cornerstone, the main stone. They've already cut the cornerstone for this building. They've got their priestly garments. They got the garments ready. They have the instruments of music. They have the vessels and the implements for animal sacrifice. They're getting ready. They have the ephod. You know the ephod that the priest wears? That thing, he wears it right on his chest with 12 different jewels on the ephod. They got that ready. They have the menorah. You know the seven candles? They got the menorah and more. They've collected money to rebuild it. They've requested permission to offer sacrifices and cleanse the Temple Mount, which they can't do anything on the Mount now because it's defiled. But they want to cleanse it. Go in and cleanse the Temple Mount. And some want to prefabricate the temple and disassemble. They want to build it, prefabricate it, and then they want to disassemble it and store it away so that when they get the approval, they'll only have to 6 months or so, 4 to 6 weeks, that they can put it together once they receive approval to construct. They are preparing to build this temple. Here's the rub. The Palestinians want to keep the same site for their, it's called El Aqsa Mosque. And as we've heard of the Dome of the Rock Mosque, it's a big old worship place they have. It's sitting right on the place. The El Aqsa Mosque, if I understand it right, is sitting right on the place where Israel wants to build their temple. These are the Arabs now. They believe that they will incur the wrath of Allah if they give up. They believe very strongly. They say moving or tearing down these buildings will trigger World War III. So the Arabs are ready to fight. They are ready to go. The struggle in the Middle East is between two religions, Judaism and Islam, Isaac and Ishmael. Those same two brothers, half-brothers. The struggle is between those two, and it continues. There is a standoff, and the standoff is whose God is the real God. Now, I just found an article that was written on July 27, 2018, about this El Aqsa Mosque that we just talked about, that Jerusalem went to. Article. It says, Israeli forces storm El Aqsa Mosque with tear gas and stun grenades. Israeli forces. I guess those are army.
Yeah.
El Aqsa Mosque, I'll read some of it for you. Israeli forces have stormed and occupied East Jerusalem's El Aqsa Mosque compound, firing tear gas and stun grenades at Muslim worshipers gathered for Friday prayers. Israeli police have since sealed the gates to the site with some worshipers stuck inside for more than 2.5 hours, said Al Jazeera, I can't say all this, Andrew Simmons reported from Mount of Olives in occupied East Jerusalem. At least 40 Palestinians were injured inside the compound, and 6 Palestinians were arrested. Palestinian news agency Wafa reported, citing local sources, at least 60 soldiers entered the mosque compound, where they used tear gas and stun grenades to disperse worshipers after Friday prayers. Firas al-Deebs, a spokesman for the Waf Jerusalem's Jordan-run Religious Endowment Authority, said in a statement, 2 of the guards were injured. One was hit by a stun grenade, and the other was assaulted, that El-Waf said in a statement. You know, they don't know why, and there's more to the article, but this is a Muslim place of worship that Israeli troops are going in and throwing stun grenades and running the worshipers out. So needless to say, it is a hotbed going on over there. And I'm not going to read the whole article. If you want it, I'll give it to whoever or make copies for you to read. But you just need to, if you want to go online and just look at conflict in, you know, Jerusalem, and it'll come up. That happened just a few days ago over this same mosque that we were just talking about. And so they're afraid that the Israelis are eventually going to take that site and begin to build. So anyway, so it's between Isaac and Ishmael, and there's that standoff. The Antichrist is going to broker a temporary peace, a peace treaty, and the tribulation temple is going to be rebuilt. And so this is the thing that the Antichrist is going to use in order to put a treaty in place between the folks that are warring for this particular right to have. The Antichrist is the one that's going to broker this peace treaty. And it's just, but Jerusalem and the Tribulation Temple is going to remain in the line of fire until the second coming of Christ. There's going to always be something going on until Christ comes. Since Jewish leaders say that only Christ or the Messiah can build the temple, it will probably be built after the Jews mistakenly accept the Antichrist as Messiah. Because they are going to accept this Antichrist activity. They're going to accept him, I believe, as Messiah. They're going to say that's the Christ. And because of that, sure, we can build the temple now because Christ has come. But it's mistaken. It's a mistaken. He's an Antichrist. Anti meaning against.
Yeah.
Amen. Daniel and Jesus both taught about the mystery of iniquity, or the abomination which makes desolate. They both talked about this. In other words, they were talking about the Antichrist causing the sacrifices and offerings to cease midway of that agreed. It was a 7-year agreement that he brokers. Midway between that, 3.5 years, it's a bogus peace treaty that he brokered. It's going to be midway. Jesus in Matthew 24:15 spoke of the abomination which maketh desolate in the holy place. It was standing in the holy place. There's only one other place in the New Testament where the holy place is used, which is Acts 21:28. Abomination is something that is disgusting. So when it says it's an abomination, it's disgusting. Disgusting. There are many things that are an abomination to God. This is one in the latter days abomination, but there are many things in God's word he says is an abomination. And when he says it's an abomination, he's saying it disgusts me. It is disgusting. And desolate is like empty or useless. So it's a disgusting thing that makes this place useless, in other words. And there's a story of one man that had went into the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar, which is the worst thing you can do. Jews don't eat pork. It's just an abomination to them. And this is not Antichrist, but it was another Epiphanes is his name. I forget all of his name. I didn't bother to. You know, it was how you offer a pig to God, you know. Maybe he offered it to his God. So a reasonable definition of what is the abomination which makes desolate is that it will be the Antichrist 3.5 years into his reign, taking a place in God's rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and saying to the whole world that he is God and must be worshipped as God. When that occurs, the real creator is going to respond to the challenge and will ultimately and eternally destroy the Antichrist, which is mentioned in Revelation 19:20. So I wanted to give you some present day circumstances that fit in with what we're studying in the book of Revelation. You know, chapter 11 came up on me fast. I was reading it going, whoa, what in the world? It came up on me kind of fast, you know, so I was perplexed most of the time trying to figure out how to study this thing and how to put this thing together and what to do. It was all yesterday and a little bit the night before that trying to figure it out. I had stuff planned. But he put this rod in John's hand. He said, I want you to go and do this. And this is just the start of it. And this is the reason that all of this is happening. And it's going to get more exciting as it goes. But it's good to know the atmosphere that's going on over there and the forces that will be ripe for the Antichrist to come on the scene. They are always talking about peace in the Middle East. The Bible says when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them as a woman in travail, as a woman trying to bring forth a child. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes and takes over.
That's right.
It will only come when the Prince of Peace takes over, and not until. But they are constantly trying to broker a peace. Antichrist is going to come and will seemingly have all of the answers, and the world will flock to him. But he is a liar, and he is against Christ. And he's going to have this so-called 7-year peace treaty between the Israelis and the Palestinians or whoever these guys are. And it'll last for 3.5 years. And then of course, the Jews will be our Christ, our Messiah, our Messiah, our Christ. And then he's going to stop the sacrifices. He's going to stop the prayers and say, now, in the holy place, you must worship me. And they're going to say, whoa. And that's when this tribulation, the great tribulation, starts. And then Christ will have to come, the war of Armageddon. All of that's going to be coming down the pike. So, interesting study there. And that was all verse 1 of chapter 11. And so, you know, we may live to experience the rapture. We may be that generation that's alive. And we may not. If we don't, then we need to do whatever God is showing us to do in this lifetime so that the next generation will have this word in them. And then if they don't make it, then that they will pass it, continue to pass it down. We have a responsibility with the word that God has placed inside of us to be led by the Spirit of God to do what he tells us to do, however that shakes out. Don't be afraid. Just be a giver. Not just money. Give a good word. Give a meal. Give of your time. Everybody don't have money. But there are some things that's more valuable than money.
Yeah.
And not everybody is motivated by money. I gave a man a small Bible one time. And he said, you're giving this to me? I said, yeah. Are you serious? You're giving this to me? I'm like, I've given hundreds of these things. Yeah, sure. He said, no one has ever given me anything. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you'd never know that this would mean so much to someone. And so the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I always like to use that as a measure sometimes, that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So go about and do good, whatever that turns out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good that can be done and really needs to be done in the world. And God bless you. Thank you, Lord, today for our message and for the information you've given us. Prepare us, Lord, in our hearts for next time. And according to your will and purpose, may we come ready to receive of the instruments. And may we be blessed and grow thereby. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.